Jambuya.
Good afternoon and welcome to another episode of Shelby's World. Today is Wednesday, April 8th, 2020. And it's a nice, wonderful day in the capital city. As usual, we have our wonderful co-host, Queen Candace. What's up, Queen?
What's going on? What's going on? It's a beautiful day outside, even though it's partly cloudy.
It's definitely partly cloudy, but it's definitely beautiful out here. How's it going for you today? How's your day been going today, Queen?
It's been going good. I can't complain. I'm happy to be off from my nursing work. I just needed me a break, so today was my day off. So I just been really just up here at the boutique trying to finish up some wigs and did a little makeup tutorial today, and that's all I've been doing.
I saw that tutorial. You was doing your thing on there. I really did. What was that, like a 20-minute tutorial?
20-minute tutorial. That's what I actually do. You know, it's longer than 20 minutes because I'm in there talking the whole time. So
right.
The video at all was like 47 minutes. But that's what I show you how to do in the class. A 20-minute face class. That's what you will actually learn in the class to actually do. We'll just be going at a little faster pace if we was in class actually doing it. But, yeah, that's the 20-minute Day 2 Couture Cosmetics, home of the 20-minute class.
Well, you did a good job, and I seen how fast it went. I was just like, whoa. And in the process, and I think a lot of times I be, because I don't know the full makeup process, so when I do a makeup face for myself, it's normally like I do the concealer, you know, the contour, and my eyeliner and my powder, but I don't do anything else after that. I don't know much else about makeup. And, oh, yeah, the setting spray stuff. But I don't know a whole lot, and I don't really get too deep into it, and I know that I can. I know that there are more things that I could do. So
yeah.
I want to learn.
Oh, I got you. It's real. Once you get the hang of it, It's real easy. Like, my motto is know your face, know your brushes, and know how to apply.
Right, right.
Once you have those down and you know your face good, man, you can just do it real quick. You don't even have to, I tell people, you don't have to use all the products. You can just go with just your foundation, your brow powder or your brow pencil or cream, whichever one you like to use. Or you can do powder, foundation, brows, mascara, liner, and lip gloss, and go on about your business.
So it can be a lot easier than what a lot more people make it out to be. You don't have to do a full face.
People don't have time to do no full hour beat every morning when they got kids to get ready, breakfast, if they cooking breakfast in the morning. Look, we already be trying to get that last 15 minutes of sleep when the alarm goes.
I'm trying to tell you.
Like, you didn't snooze a couple of times. So, yeah, it's just easy. It's real easy once you get the hang of it. But it was something that I ended up just doing myself. And I was like, man, I think one morning I was rushing. And I did it. And I was like, man, did I just do my face in 20 minutes? And I was like, okay, I can do this. And I just started
practicing. You knew it was a possibility.
Yeah, so I knew. Yeah, so I was like, okay, this is something. But just talking to Dr. Connie, the one that I went when I did the Winter Circle,
mm-hmm.
her, the one that put on the Winter Circle conference, talking to her, I did her 28-day Let's Start. I can't remember what the class was, but it was a little group of us on Facebook. And ended up talking to her, and she was like, what is it that you can do, that you can advertise, for your cosmetic line and stuff like that. She say like something that somebody ain't doing. And I was like, well, I can do my face in 20 minutes and I can teach somebody how to do their face in 20 minutes. She said, there it is. She said, charge them $40 and you go on about your business.
And
when I got off the phone with her, that little consultation we had, when I got off the phone with her, I made that flyer. And that was
what it was, because as soon as you did that, like you opened up your business to another realm, even though you offer beauty and cosmetics, now you're offering to teach it. And, you know, normally when you start teaching, you're teaching people things, you're either going to lose them as a client to doing their makeup, but you're going to gain them for purchasing your product. So it's a win-win with that. It's a win-win with it. And then another thing is a lot of women are out here learning to do their makeup, learning to do their faces, because it's an expensive thing to do. It's, you know, it's something to have to pay for all the time, especially if you're one of those women that are on a go but always putting on events and always at conferences speaking or doing something like that. You need to be able to do your face in a timely manner without having to spend so much money on it. So I think that it's a beneficial thing that you're doing.
Yeah, because when you come to the class, you use the J. C. Couture products. We don't use all J. C. Couture products, but majority of the stuff that I sell, we actually use in the class. So if you want to purchase that, you keep an opportunity to try the products, and if they want to purchase the product, they actually can purchase the product as well if they want to. But it's just, like I tell people, man, come by. Just even if you just want to come by, you don't even got to buy nothing. If you just want to check it out and see what it's like, try it on. Come by and try it on. But there's some good products. I'm telling you, I ain't just saying it because it's my line. But they also look, and you know, because you got the lipstick.
And you you've used so many of your different products on me, so I definitely know how the products work, and they. And they feel good on your skin, like they're a moisturizing type of product.
Very
I like that.
They're very light products. Yes, yes, indeed. So, what is the quote today? What's the quote today?
So before I tell y'all the quote of the day, I got to let y'all know what we're doing today. So, today is, for one, this is episode 23 of Shelby's World. And when I say episode 23, what I mean is this is under the Freedom Train umbrella. This is our 23rd episode. But since I've been going with the podcast, I think we may be on like episode 30, maybe 35, but totally for the Freedom Train where our magnitude and our program affiliation falls under, we're on our 23rd episode. So April is our one-year anniversary of Freedom Train. Today is the actual day that I went live with Shelby's World April 8th. So
wow.
It's amazing. I know. It's amazing for one that it started, that we actually get a Wednesday to reap that benefit off of. But I didn't know that it was going to fall on the same day, on a Wednesday. I didn't know that it was going to fall on the same day. So I'm really excited about that. So congratulations to Shelby's World. A round of applause.
Yes.
Because we did that. We're here a whole year. But today is exciting. So for our episode today, we're going to be interviewing our very own Queen Candace. And I kind of found a quote that was similar to what I call, because I always recognize her as Queen. And I tell you guys, I think I said this from the moment when she became the co-host for the show, that it's hard to say her name now because I always call her Queen. So I found a quote today that was fitting to that, and I wanted to say that our quote of the day is, never allow others to adjust your crown, because the queen adjusts her own crown. And that's definitely, you know, author unknown, because that's something we say on a regular basis, but I think it's really fitting for today. Because of who we have on our platform today. And because of that, I want to make sure we recognize your queenship, your queendomship, and took that quote and put that out there for you today. So, Queen, never allow others to adjust your crown. Queens adjust their own crowns. And I just wanted to remind you of that. So that's
indeed
our quote of the day. What do you think about that quote, Queen?
I like that because it's actually a picture that's been floating around Instagram. A lot of different women been posting it. Well, I call them queens. A lot of different sister queens been posting. I know I posted, and it's actually the queen with her crown on, adjusting it back like it's supposed to be in the right position.
Exactly. Exactly.
That fits me perfectly. Look, I can't get up off. Can't get up off that throne. Got to stay on that throne.
You can't. At all times, even when you're feeling.
At all.
That's right. Even when you feel in a certain type of way, you still got to do your part to adjust your own crown. Because regardless of the fact, no matter what we're going through, until you get through it, you are still the one that has to realize getting through it is what you have to do. It has to be you. So until the situation is finished, it's going to be that queen every day making adjustments to her life, making adjustments to her goals, making adjustments to her family. Anything she has to do to keep that crown stabilized, normally how queens handle themselves. And I really thought that would work really good for us today.
Cause, I like that.
You know.
I like that. I really do like that. It's funny because everybody, I've been actually calling myself queen probably since 2014. And now besides me and you, people actually see me, what's up, queen, actually call me queen instead of calling me by my name. Yep. Even my friends, some of my family members, some of my new sister queens that I didn't met, like, so, and my husband, he always called me his queen, so, you know.
It's important. I appreciate it because I didn't realize. Even, and you know what, and that's the good thing about that is we, because of who we set the precedent for ourselves, if we see, if we are doing queenly things, of course, we're going to have that precedent that we are a queen because we're around here doing queenly things. It wouldn't be, it's nothing, so why not refer to yourself as something that you are doing, what you are building? So I think it's a beautiful thing to be able to know. Once you yourself see you as that queen, and now others start to recognize your abilities and your strength, and your they look at your face and know exactly who they're dealing with just because of what you put out there. Our words are very, very powerful. So you speak into the air that you're the queen, that's what you're going to get.
Yeah, you got to walk with that. You got to walk. One of my friends told me years ago, she was like, girl, we go out. She said, this was before we'd been doing all this recording with our phones. She was like, Candace, if you can really see how you strut when we go out. She said, girl. She said, baby. She was like, I ain't even got no words. She said, but I wish you could actually see yourself, Candace, how your head be held up high and how you just be looking straight for. She said, it's so empowering. I was like, you know, when I go out, I be feeling good about it. You know, I feel good all the time, but I got on my heels, my face done, and I wasn't really wearing makeup then, but I know how to, I like to dress up. I never noticed. And, you know, some stuff you just don't notice about yourself until somebody pointed out. But I was like, girl, I know. I was like, but thank you, though, but now I do.
And that's
we are.
Exactly. And sometimes people see your power before you. And it's not that that's a problem. It's just that because some people are so humble with their lives that they don't see themselves in the capacities that others already see them because of the fact that they just think that what they're doing is a natural thing. But in all honesty, it could be your calling. And like I said before with the podcast situation, Joe had been pushing me to do this podcast or just telling me I need to start speaking more on using my platform a lot more. And I was like, how am I going to do that? You know, I'm like, I talk enough on Facebook. I talk enough on social media. That's not enough. And they don't need to hear me. And he was just like, no, Shelby, you have a bigger platform. You have a bigger exposure. Yeah, and you're trying to do more with your exposure. So I think now is the time for you to start utilizing the people who you have in your circle to start pushing your platform to the powers that be. And other than, I don't think I ever would have thought to do a podcast other than that. I don't think I ever would have said, yeah, this is what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm happy I appreciate him seeing that in me when I didn't see it in myself.
Yeah, I'm happy you did because it's been good. People be asking about it and stuff, and I'm like, oh, y'all be watching us? Y'all be actually be tuning in, listening to us? But
well,
you
know, Joe said the numbers are doing really well.
Yeah, you'd be surprised who be paying attention to you.
You really do.
They might not say, but they paying attention. They are really paying attention. I just feel that it's going to go further than you. It's going to blow your mind. I really believe.
And you know, with so much the things that we got going on with it and the things we want to do with it, it's going to get to that level that we're trying to get it to and reaching the airwaves that we wanted to reach, because there are so many positive people in communities around the world that can't expose themselves or even allow the people in their own communities to see what they're doing. So this platform is more so for that. You know, we're here to encourage, we're here to motivate, we're here to build up, we're here to celebrate, we're here to cry, laugh with you, embrace you, make people happy. And I think because we're doing that, even on a small scale, is reaching bigger places because we have a positive platform. So
I don't think we cried.
But that's our quota
today.
No, we haven't cried yet. But
yeah, we didn't cry yet. Yeah, we cried yet though.
Well, I wouldn't say I haven't cried yet. But I don't think I've allowed my tears to show on the camera.
Yeah.
Because we've done our audios, like, before. I think even before we teamed up, some of my audios, I could tell that I was a little emotional on some of those podcasts before. So I know that we probably haven't shed tears, but you can hear the emotion in the in the commentary. Mm-hmm. And I know when we were talking to the person that we're going to bring back in and re-interview, that was an emotional podcast. So, in person, that may actually have us in there in tears, Chad.
Look, I told you about the little session with me, her, and the other young lady when we was talking about it. We met to talk about our trip and how that thing just went. It just went left, like.
Yeah.
Speaking to that other young lady life and stuff, and it was just so mind opening. But I love her. I love what she's about as a woman, as a queen, everything that she's doing, and I can't wait till we bring her back on so people can actually see her live as we be right here together talking to her. I can't wait, because that's gonna be good.
That's gonna be real good. I'm ready for that live feed. I'm ready for that in person. I'm ready for us to, like, you know, just give the people what they've been looking for.
I got a chair now. I got us a chair for the person that comes now. I got us a new chair.
Okay.
I got us a chair. So it's gonna be good. So we all set up for real now when we come back. We all set up for real now. So, yeah, I got a chair especially for that person to come and sit between me and you and have our little queen's conversation.
That's
so,
right.
Yes, I can't wait.
It's gonna be
for
wonderful
that. Gonna,
too.
Yeah, that's gonna be good. That's gonna be real good.
All right. Well, before we get into our actual interview with our queen for the day, we're gonna do our fact of the day, and our fact of the day is that Mr. Robert L. Johnson, he was born on today on April 8, 1946, in Hickory, Mississippi. And Mr. Johnson is an American businessman, founder of Black Entertainment Television, which is BET, and the first African-American majority owner of a major professional sports team in the United States. So give it up to Mr. Johnson today, who is a Black leader in our community. So we want to thank him for all he's done and paving the way for a lot of Black business leaders and Black businessmen in our nation. So thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Thank you. Salute.
Yes. And did you all know that he Johnson built BET from a tiny cable outlet airing only 2 hours of programming a week in 1980 to a broadcasting giant that claimed an audience of more than 70 million households. That is awesome.
That's real awesome.
That's awesome.
That is
awesome.
Awesome.
And I don't know if a lot of people know that a lot, but behind the scenes we're doing a lot of things with electronics and data. You got to know how to code. So when you get somebody, and coding is very important, and it's something that's growing in our nation because hackers and people who build these apps and people who build these websites, Facebook, social media giants, conglomerates are good coders. And that's the reason why they can make success off of what they're doing, because there are not millions of people who can code. And now it's a growing industry. So if you have knowledge and experience in coding and you're listening to our show, that may be something you want to start digging deep in. And if you're a college student or intern and you're deep into coding, call us, because we're looking to get some apps created as well. So any way that you can build your brand, always build it. And, like, this is a time now where people are either twiddling their thumbs or just trying to calm down from some type of depression with this pandemic going on. So if you got things that you can do that you can grow from, use this opportunity for that, especially if you're not stressing out about anything at this moment. Use this opportunity as a positive. So
I'm trying to tell you. A great opportunity. What is that degree? Is that I know they have like the information technology degrees that's dealing with, because that's what my mom have, and they learn coding. Or is that, what is the other one?
Coding
science.
I know it's a computer technology degree, but okay. you can go and get a trade in coding, and.
Gotcha.
Hold on, give me 1 second, Queen, because I'm sitting here with the computer right now. So,
that's amazing. It really is,
and it's a growing. It's growing. People know how to code, and it's so many Black people with the ability to code in our communities and don't have anywhere to use it because they don't know. A lot of people don't know anything about coding.
And you can buy your own web stuff, like own space on the web that you actually, that's how, GoDaddy.com, you can buy that stuff yourself and be your own web hoster for different companies.
Yep. And own your own domains and do all that. It's an incredible thing. And I think that once we realize how important coding is, more of us will get into it, because I said I wanted to get more informed on it myself and learn a little bit more about it myself. It looks like it's taken off to the point. It's taken off a lot. It really is.
Yeah, it has in the last past 10 years. It has.
And so many places offer it. So it's a software development program, basically. So what you're doing, and it is computer science, so what you're doing is learning how to, what is this thing? It says, listen, if you students have accounts on. So now even in any type of computer technology or computer software class, they're offering coding training. So even if you don't go to school completely just to learn how to code, you're going to have some type of coding training or experience or class. If you're taking computer science or some type of computer software class, so you're going to get that experience or exposure, regardless if you're going to use it. Exactly. So I think that's a good thing. All right. So, again, y'all, today I'm so excited because we get to introduce interview Queen Candace today.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, ma'am. So, okay. So, Queen.
Yes, ma'am.
Won't you go ahead and tell us, the audience, the listeners, what you're doing, what your businesses are about, and what and what you're doing on a daily basis, because you don't just run businesses. You have your own caregiving for what is it? Matter of fact, let me just stop. I'm going to stop, take a step right back and let you do that.
Well, I'm not just a, as I say, not just a beauty girl, not just a beauty queen, but I do have my own health care. I'm a solo provider health care licensed, certified, whatever you want to say, CNA. I'm independent, been independent for since 2005. I've been an independent provider. I do work with the agency, but with that agency, I'm just straight contractor. They just the person that get the contracts, and they give me a contract. They get a percentage, and I get the rest. But I'm a solo provider. I love what I do. I work with mostly the elderly. I do have one patient that's handicapped, that's cerebral palsy. So I've been doing that, like I said, since 2005. But technically, I can say I've been doing it since I was a kid, because my grandmother had her own business doing this health care stuff in her own home, and most of her people was the elderly and people that, like VA clients and stuff, and they actually, VA actually, like, contacted her and see if she needed, did she have enough space for someone that was in the military that needed a home to stay in, and they came and live with us. I stayed with my grandmother for a while as a kid, and probably like that, as far as I can remember, like age 7, I had been just helping her. Out of all the 21-some cousins, I was the one that helped my grandmother with that. Not all of us helped, but me and probably about 5 of my other cousins and my brother, we helped my grandmother. But it wasn't just people in our small community. Like I said, with some people that the VA recommended and that she took in, that was veterans of like World War I and II. Like to be that young and to see a man go through seizures that was in the First World War, like, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. And to be that young to actually witness that. But it was also my grandmother's aunts and uncles that we took care of also. So that's like what my great great aunts and uncles that, yeah, I had a chance to actually like help take care of. We have some funny stories. We were some devilish little kids. I just put it that way because we have some stories that we used to just say stuff to one of my great great aunts, and not knowing at the time that she had Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
So she, you know, a Alzheimer patient, they flip on, they flip off. They might be sweet as pie, go back into that mindset of a child. Then in the next 5 minutes, they can flip mode and just curse you out. And it is just so much. But we used to bother her and her sister. Her sister, she was in a wheelchair, my Aunt Christelle. And both of them was midwives. So this nursing thing has really went through my family for a long time, because even my dad's mom was a nurse as well, and my aunt's children are nurses as well on my dad's side. But she, we used to just do stuff just to make that, and they dipped snuff. If anybody knows,
you know it.
Anybody that, yeah, dipped snuff, they dipped snuff, and my Aunt Christelle was in a wheelchair. And we used to just bother her as she dip her snuff and always spit it in the goddamn Folgers coffee canister. so it was fun. Not, and at that age, I wanted to be a nurse. I wanted to be a nurse at that age. Did not know that I would actually be a nurse. A nurse's assistant. Still, nurse's assistant, RN, LPN, it don't matter. You're still a nurse. It don't matter which initials,
right,
you have behind your name. A nurse is a nurse, period. To me, in my opinion, the CNA and the home health aid, we have more of a connection with the patient because we are there doing personal care. We spend more time with the patient than the doctors, the RNs, the LPNs, the nurse practitioners. we are the one that really takes care of the patient.
Care of them,
patient
right.
Knows, like, we are really, truly, all of us are caregivers, but the CNA and the home health aide is truly the caregivers when it comes down to the medical field, when it comes down to the nursing and all of that. That's who we really, that's who really get a chance to, they really get a chance to know us, and especially when you're doing private duty care, which is what I do. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I would never, I have worked at the old folks home or the convalescent home, whatever, whichever one you want to call it. I got my training there and everything, but I knew when I started in 05, I got my training. It usually takes anything from a 4-month class. I did this class, y'all, in 1 month. I'm talking about with testing,
wow.
All training, all. And ace the class, ace the test, and this ain't no really easy stuff. It's a lot that you have to actually learn, and you also have to do the physical part too when you go take the state board test. So, but I aced it. I was pregnant with my son, and I was just motivated to do it. My one of my best friends that I grew up with, Janet, she was a nurse at the time, an LPN, and she was like, "You ought to go take the class," because her mom used to actually give the classes.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually went and took the class. So I started from there. I had my first client and everything after that, and I've been on a roll since then. But with my whole with that, it has opened up so many doors. I have met so many people. I mean, wealthy people around Tallahassee that I have met, which is amazing. Because especially the one patient that I have now, Mr. Wood, with his wife just passed, and I took care of both of them, and I was with her until she transitioned. And it's been so amazing. It's a joy. Sometimes it can be a headache. I can get frustrated, but I know when I walk into these people's house, they depend on me. They look
mm-hmm.
for me. And it don't matter what I may be going through, I have to leave all of that right there at my truck
at the door.
And walk into these
yep.
people's houses and still have a smile on my face. And I might be having a bad day, but just walking into their house and looking at them and they have to see me make me feel good about myself. So my grandmother, she trained me, and even when I talked to her, she still be like, "Baby, yeah, you was right there with me. You was the one that did everything and showed me how to do a lot." And my patient, Mr. Woodward, he, as I was telling him my story, he was like, "Candace, I could tell somebody had to train you. You didn't get this training in school when you
yeah.
took this class. You ain't," he said, "somebody, like, trained
you." No, because
you
they don't really teach
what?
You that. Bedside, empathy,
mm-hmm.
all that. They don't teach all that.
None of that. He says, somebody, this is some, yeah, you got some experience that you didn't have, because we didn't have some people coming here. Nobody ain't like you. You're totally different. So with that, my grandmother, she trained me, and I never knew that this would be what I would be doing to take care of my family. So God be setting you up at an early age. I don't think we realize sometimes he already be setting you up for what you're actually going to actually be doing when you become an adult and stuff. And I know this is a part of my purpose. My purpose is to help people. And once I moved to Tallahassee from living with my grandmother, I ended up going to being in the hair salon. My mom was a licensed nail tech, and she worked for the state. And at the hair salon at Back Street over there on Gang Street with Miss Diane, Miss Cindy, and my mom, and Marva, David, that old David barbershop that was right
him.
There on Lake
mm-hmm.
Bradford. Tony,
yep.
like all, I mean, so many stylists, old school, being in there with them on the weekends, like Thursday through Saturday. Sometimes they did Midnight Madness, and that's when I fell in love. I fell in love with hair as a young child because my grandmother did my hair, and it was a mess for my class pictures one time, and I didn't like it. She put me in them Sealy class, them Sealy braids. I didn't like it, and from that time, I was probably about seven or eight years old, I started doing my own hair, but didn't know that I was going to be doing this Well, I did know, because that was what I really wanted to do once I seen
right.
the deal and watched those ladies do hair, watch my mom. I'm like, oh, just seeing them getting cash money in their hands, that was fascinating. A child at that age, 10 years old, seeing people just wads of cash that they put in their pocket, ain't going to nobody, it's going directly to their hands, I was amazed. I was like, okay, this is what I want to do. And I learned a lot of stuff. So, like I said, I've been doing my hair since I was like 7 or 8 years old. I end up learning different techniques. One of my cousins, one of my older female cousins, she's the oldest out of all the granddaughters. She came to live with us after she graduated from school. And a lot of people don't know, well, I know the new generation don't know about Moon TV. They used to go to the moon, huh, her homegirl, and they used to let me do their hair, those microwave ponytails on the rod.
Mm-hmm.
You had to be an 80s baby and a 90s baby to know about that microwave ponytail.
Trust me.
So they let me do their hair, from them letting me do their hair to my friends starting to let me do their hair, and I knew when I was in high school, I was like, cosmetology is what I want to do. I thought I wanted to go to school to be a history teacher. That's what I put in my yearbook. But I was like, no. So the day I graduated from high school was in May 21st of 2000. I ended up starting cosmetology school in July. And I stopped for a while because I ended up getting pregnant with my daughter. But I ended up going back and finishing, like, I had her in 2001. I went back the summer of 2001 after I had her, like August of 2001. I ended up going back and I finished, and here I am. I stopped doing hair for a while once I started doing the nursing stuff. I just really lost the passion for it. But one of my cousins, he was in federal prison, and once he got out, he called me and he was like, because I've been, you know, when I was locked up, all these men and stuff that I met talking about this thing, this virgin hair. And I was like, what are you talking about? He was like, cuz, check it out. He was like, that's when the whole DH Gate, all of those websites started coming out around that time. I think this was like 2011, 2012. And he put me on something that I didn't know, because I had stopped doing hair. I just really lost the passion for it. And I was going through some personal issues with my kid's father and stuff like that. So I was just at one of those low points in my life that I wasn't happy with myself. If you knew me at that time, you could see it all over my face that I just wasn't in a positive and a good – I'm not who I am now. But that part of my life taught me to be who I am now. It got me to where I am now. But talking to him, I checked it out. I ordered hair. And I was like, hey, I think I can do this. I just started, like, buying hair and selling it to, like, my friends and my neighbors. And that's how I got back into doing hair. But I started J2 Couture 2013, December 10th of 2013, with another young lady that me and her went to cosmetology school together and ended up reconnecting, had almost the same vision.
Mm-hmm.
And we started J2 Couture. It didn't end, it ended different for our partnership, and I became sole owner of J2 Couture. And this is where I am now. Once she stopped, I ended up, I was already doing hair, already had the hairline, but I wasn't doing wigs. I didn't start doing wigs until like 2014 or something like that. I started doing wigs, or somewhere around 2014 I started doing wigs, but I stopped. I wish I wouldn't have never stopped, but hey, it is what it is because I'm back now.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I started seeing other stuff. I already knew that I wanted a full beauty business. I want for my clients to be able to come in, get their hair done, get their face done, and also I styled them as well. So that's why it's J2 Couture, the essence of, if anybody realized that it's J2 Couture, and the motto is the essence of beauty and fashion, because I want to be able to style people as well, because people always ask me, girl, I like what you got on. Like, how you so jazzy. And one of my homeboys used to always call me Jazzy when I walked in college. I'm like, you come to school Jazzy. Even if you got on tennis shoes, jeans, and a T-shirt, you still be looking jazzy. So I was like, oh, okay. Like I said, sometimes you don't know that people be paying attention to you. You know, mm-hmm. you just dress because you like
and the
dress.
Things that they're paying attention to.
Yeah, and the things that they're paying attention to. So from there, I added the clothes and 2016, like the end of 2015, going into 2016, and then I added the cosmetic line, which I started off with just lipsticks first. And here I am, J2 Couture 2020. we're full blown service boutique salon, as I call it. You can come get your hair done, come get your wigs made, come get your makeup done, come get styled, buy clothes, buy cosmetic products, all of that. I also have I'm a certified life coach, and my coaching is in relationships, not just man and woman, but just relationships from husband and wife, boyfriend and girlfriend, friendships. And even relationships, how you can deal with your patients if you're a nurse, how to actually deal with those patients that's difficult and stuff. And my other life coach certification is in beauty and imaging, showing people how to revamp their image or giving them a whole new look from head to toe, like showing you how to actually carry yourself as a woman mostly. But just, you know, the different clothes that you should wear when you go to different places, different events. You know, your clothes speak a lot about you and what you do and stuff. So, you know, just knowing how to dress when you step out and stuff. And you want people to take you serious. So your wardrobe should be serious, too, when it comes down to stuff like that. And, look, I'm here. I'm a wife. I'm a mother. I'm a business owner. I'm somebody's daughter, aunt, all of that stuff. So, but I love what I do. I can honestly say both of these professions that I do, it all comes back down to, and the life coaching, helping people, pushing people to their greatest potential. Look, I need people to continue to push me to my great potential, so I'm willing to push other people to their great potential. And that's what Candace Johnson Players is about, J2 Couture is about. Independent healthcare services with Candace J is about, it's just about helping people. And I realized that not too long ago that my purpose here is to actually help people on earth and push them to their greatest potential. So I'm loving what I do. I enjoy it so much. So, you know, y'all check me out. Go to the website, j2couture.com, or you can hit me up at 850-300-0700. Text, call, whatever, email, queen at J2 Couture. And I'm loving life. I'm really enjoying life right now, even through the whole pandemic that we are going through. It's like, man, look, I'm still out here getting it. I just finished a client. So it's, you know, you got to continue to be positive through everything that you do. That was something that I had to learn, and I just started really speaking positive words over my life, listening to daily affirmations at night, during the day while I'm working with my patients. I just put my earbuds in. I'm still communicating with them, but I'm listening to these positive affirmations as well. And I end up surrounding myself around positive women, like women that's motivating me. I'm motivating them, and just trying to do positive things. Ended up hooking up with Shelby them, with Link Up, and doing that, trying to be into the, you know, really get into mentoring kids in the community. Because my grandmother, she's someone that inspires all of us. Like, my cousin has a big thing that she does now, and it all comes back to my grandmother and what she does in the community and at her church and everything. So, you know, just having that type of positivity in your family, from the matriarch of your family, my grandmother, man, look, we trying to make her proud and the rest of our
family.
Right. You know.
And
so
you
like,
and you building legacies. I mean, you definitely building legacies. You definitely building legacies. I think your journey to where you got, the reason why you got here is very important. And I want to add, in continuation of what you're speaking of, beyond the fact that this has been something that you were conditioned to do based on what you were experiencing growing up, and you fell in love with the different talents and the different things that you saw, and you wanted to be a part of that. Other than that being an important reason, what is another reason for why this walk is important for you?
The passion. You got to have the passion for it. And like I say, to help people. To truly help people look their best, feel their best. When they're sick, people want to feel it. People don't want, they might not look their best, they might not feel their best. But I come into those people's houses and they're not feeling good. But a lot of them have told me, man, Candace, when we see you, like, you just put a smile on my face. I know that. Matter of fact, one of my patient that just passed, she told her daughter, she has three daughters, and she told her daughter, she said, you know, when Candace is here with me in the daytime, but mostly when Candace comes does the overnight shift, I feel more comfortable with her than any of the other ladies that come in this house to do overnight. I know I can rest peacefully. I know if I call her, she's going to be right there. The first, I don't have to continue to call her. I can just say her name once. She's going to get up and be like,
she's coming.
Miss Woodward, what you need?
No.
She says she just so sufficient. She just, like, I don't have to tell her what to do. She already know what to do.
By the look on her face sometimes. You could just read people.
Yeah, she like, you already, she said, Candace just know what to do. Like, I don't have to tell her. Like, she knows, she pay, and another one of my clients said, you just pay attention to detail. You see stuff, I don't have to ask you, Candace, would you take the trash out for me? Or Candace, would you do this? Or Candace, the laundry, would you put the laundry in for me? Or Candace this? Or Candace, we need to go to this. You already know, I actually come in and tell them, look, this is what we're going to do today.
Mm-hmm. But you know, that's because you're that, like you said, if it wasn't for the passion, you wouldn't be doing what you're doing, because a person who is passionate about their walk, they're passionate about what the person that they're helping thinks of them. They're passionate about what their family members think of them. They're passionate about every aspect of what they're doing, because you're not going to get up that morning and prepare yourself for your day with your client, knowing your client needs all of you. That's because you're passionate about what you're doing. And I think that anybody who, home health aid type of work is not an easy job. It doesn't just come with sitting up with people, washing their behinds and seeing, and that. You have to get to know who you're dealing with. So that means learning their personality. That means learning their routine, learning their medical history. That means learning every single aspect about them. Your job is not just completely based around looking after them during the day. You have to become their friend. You have to become their companion. You have to become their... It's so many things that you have, so many hats you have to wear in that capacity. So
it is.
With that being said, what has been your biggest triumph or your success story in your walk?
Say that again.
What has been your biggest trial or your triumph in your walk or your success story? Like, you know, sometimes you don't have there's not always a tragedy to get you to a successful situation.
Yeah.
So stepping
out on here and becoming a business owner without having the 9-to-5, without having the benefits, without knowing that, you know, if I don't work, we don't eat.
That's right.
You know, so that's big. To actually just be like, okay, I'm going to do this. I don't know, God, I don't know how, but I'm trusting you, and I'm going to step out here on faith, and I'm going to do this. I'm going to work for myself, and I'm going to do this.
That's right.
And I just need, you say, you told me, God, if I take the first step, you will do the rest. And that's what I did. And trust me, it was scary at first. It was scary.
And that's encouraging to me, Candace, because I can honestly say with my business, I've never ever went fully 9-to-5 with it, because I've always had, I've always either not completely did everything in the most positive aspect to get the business completely running the way it should be, and I've never given 100% of my time to it to where I had to be dedicated to it. What ended up happening with me was that if I lost a job or hours got cut, I picked up my business. So I would use my business in times of need more than using it as setting it up as a real legacy. So which is why I decided to take a step back and use it as a catering company. It is why I'm working and saving the money to get to where I need to be and preparing myself on all the business aspects. So now I'm clearing business fronts. I'm cleaning my palate to where if I do decide that, okay, I'm done with the 9-to-5, I have all my gear in order to operate Shelby's Bistro functionally. And but I've always been so afraid of that, to go completely full throttle. And hearing your story and knowing that it's a way around it, having your faith strong enough to be able to do it is important. And because I've always only fallen on it for hard times, it wasn't a faith thing for me. It wasn't a faith issue or a faith situation. It always turned out to be, because we built on survival, it always turned out to be, this was what I know I can do. I'm going to survive regardless.
Mm-hmm.
So
it'd be like that. It's scary. But I just stepped out. And I'm finna be 100 with you. My dad was a straight hustler, period.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So even that alone, that too. My stepdad was too at one point. And so that stepping out, like, oh, I can do this. But I do come from a family of entrepreneurs.
And successful entrepreneurs too. Even if they're even if it started off rocky, it always ended up successful.
Mm-hmm.
So you had that. You had a blueprint already laid out for y'all. That's what this legacy stuff is that we talk about all the time. You already had a blueprint. You already had successes with it. I've never had that in my family. I've never had people in my family take a step out. Everybody in my family known to go to work, or, you know, you either going to have a good job and be successful that way, or you going to hustle. And in my family, you didn't have too many men that would start a business. It's always the woman that would do that. And then it's always, when it failed, they end up going back to work. I didn't want to make those same mistakes. I said, this time, whenever I do this, I'm going to make sure everything is in working condition to where I don't have any issues. And I'm not saying that it won't fail, but I know that I put 100% into it, and it was pristine, it was laid out correctly, and we did what we had to do to get where we needed to be.
Yeah. I get you on that. I feel you on that one. I really feel you on that one. But yeah, starting with my grandmother, because my grandmother was raised by her grandmother, which was a full-blown Indian, and her grandma, my great-grandmother died, and my grandmother was a child. My great-grandmother was just 33 when she died.
Wow.
So my grandmother was raised by her grandparents and her uncles, the ones that I was saying that we helped take care of, which is my great-great aunts and uncles. So she was raised by them with her grandfather and her grandmother. And my grandmother is from North Florida. She stays in Central Florida, but she's from Grand Ridge over there, Jackson County.
Mm-hmm.
So she
That's near Lee County and all that, right?
That's Jackson County is Cottondale, Mariana,
so
Grand
near Lee.
Ridge. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But she,
okay, it's on the other side, but it's just I got you.
Yeah. But just her being and it was just her and her brother. She didn't have a lot of siblings. It was just her and her brother. Her brother was way older than her. So I don't know when my grandmother actually, like, had him, but he was, like, I want to say maybe about 10 years older than my grandmother, 12 years older than her, something like that. But she, just an amazing woman. Because her brother died years ago before my mom then was probably even teenagers. My mom is the baby out of the six. But after her and my grandfather separated and divorced, my grandmother ended up dating this man. She never got married, remarried again. But this man that she dated, Mr. Jackson, he was pretty wealthy in our community. He owned businesses. He had a laundromat. He had a club. He had a little grocery, a little mini market in the community. Mm. He owned land and everything. And
it's a black man.
A black man. And he showed my grandmother things and set her up to do her home health bill.
Okay.
And she took it and run. And plus, she a woman of faith, too. So that's always been a woman of faith, always. So that there alone with her doing that, even after her and him separated, and she still took that business, raised those last three kids that she had to raise. One of my uncles had been, well, both of my uncles had been working since they was like 9, 10 years old. One of my oldest uncle, he worked on cleaning a lady yard that he told me about. When he left and went off to college, he passed that job down to my other uncle. And they just, everybody in my family just always did work. And just to see them like, man, I can't be lazy.
Yeah, and then when it would be like you letting out your family tradition, like just in general.
Yeah,
you're not building what they was building no more.
Mm-mm. I can't be lazy. And then to watch my mom and how she got it. My mom had their own, they used to sell clothes and stuff like that. My mom was a nail tech. And she had her job with the state, but she stepped out and stopped working for the state for a while, ended up going back to school. And, you know, going to school, you just living off financial aid. She got mortgage and all of that. She started selling clothes and stuff like that. So just being around them and watching one of my uncles working from going to Atlanta, and he graduated from BCC, went to Atlanta, worked on the track, was a garbage man, while he put himself through law school. Now he works for himself. He still does law, but he has contracts, government contracts and stuff. And then my other uncle worked at the mine for years and got into a car accident, got himself together, and he started his lawn service, which is, that's how he provides for his family now. That's how he sent his youngest child off to college. So just watching them, my oldest mom's oldest sister, she was a director over Badcock, the furniture store, but Badcock had a daycare center in Polk County, which was in Mulberry where my aunt stayed. And
Badcock had a daycare center?
They had a daycare center for the people that lived in that community and for their employees as well.
Wow.
And she was the director over their daycare center, and once they closed down, she built a building in the back of her house and opened her own daycare center.
So well, look how amazing that is.
Yeah, just watching them, and look, Look, the women in my family are amazing.
I was just about to say that. Like, so tell me this. Based on, because, you know, stuff like that could be very, very intimidating to the future people who are trying to the future. The kids who got to pull up their bootstraps and start doing some of the same things and creating legacies and things of that nature. They have a great set of examples. They have a very huge outlet of people to that they could look back on, up to and be like, you know, my great-grandmother was able to do this. My grandma was able to do this. They have this set of this ladder of examples in front of them. Mm-hmm. What type of, and, you know, with that being said, it makes it hard for you to feel like, oh, my God, it's acceptable for me to fall down and keep falling down. It will make it hard for a person to feel like they can keep up or even amount to what you all have already done in your family.
Mm-hmm.
Define your idea of preservation for the future. Before we even get out of here, I want, because this is important to me, hearing your lineage, hearing your history, and hearing your foundation of how you got where you are, preservation is important. How would you define preservation for the future people in your family, your children, your grandchildren, your cousins' children, your brother's children? How would you define that preservation for you all to continue building on that legacy that you all have already grounded in your family?
I think with my kids have seen me go through the ups and downs. Probably not as much as I've seen my own mom, but, like, I didn't go to college. I did, because I already knew what I wanted to do. And I knew college was
right
for me. I didn't go to college, but my daughter's in college. So just seeing her, she, like, it's like I could see it in their eyes what they want to do, and they telling me what they want to do. Like, my son, Ben, said he wanted to be, look, a basketball player, but most definitely a business owner.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, and a scientist. That was at age 6. So just, I always tell them, look, each generation has to make a difference in their family. My grandmother set the bar. She did. My mom and my aunts, and my uncles, them set the bar as well. And look, I just want to carry this legacy on, Shelby. Not even just for my family, but for just people that's around me and they kids, strangers. It's so, just gotta want to be great.
But and with that being said, because you're not going, and because a lot of your children and the kids and your family may not take the walk you took. But they're, like, going to college. Your daughter going to college, you didn't go. Your mom went to college, you didn't go. So those type of things skip generations. Okay, so with that being said, your daughter could still be building onto you guys' lineage, even with her college degree. Now, adding more history to you all's setup.
Yes.
Exactly. So. And then you create a different set of lineage because you're married as well and your husband has children. So you have several things that are going to go into the history of what you're building. What would you tell them when it comes to preserving that history? What would you say to them so that they can continue building on that, growing from that, and using that as a way to keep them going? What would you say to them? What type of encouraging, or even not even just encouraging, what being real with them? If you look at them today and they stand right in your face and they say today to you, I don't know what I want to do, but I know I want to keep our family stable. I know I want to keep things in our family going. What would you say to them?
First thing, you believe in God. And if the answer is yes, you trust God. You pray and you ask God, what is it that you want me to do so I can continue my family legacy? Then once you do that, the next thing I'm going to ask, what is something that you love to do that you will actually do for free?
Wow.
You like to cook. You like to serve people your food. That might be something that you probably would do for free because that's just what you love to do and you love to see somebody eat.
And done it for free.
And like to see somebody look just like, they eat my food.
That's right.
Man, I just blessed them. So what is something that that's what I will ask you, what is something that you love to do that you will actually do for someone for free? And if you,
that's a good
all of
question.
Us have
that'd
a talent and all of
that.
Us have a gift. Yeah, all of us have talents. All of us have gifts. And I always heard, if you love what you do, you will actually do it for free for somebody, because that's just how much you love what you do and you want to make that other person happy because of what you do. All of us want to be known. All of us want to be recognized for something. All of us do. I don't care who it is. All of us do. Even the most shy person, they still want to be recognized for whatever they do. But that's what
yeah.
I'll ask them. You believe in God. And that's something that my grandmother and my aunts and uncles always said, especially my mom. You have to trust God or whoever you believe in. I believe in the Lord, Savior, and Jesus. That's who I believe in, the Son, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's my belief. And I truly believe that's what you believe in. Anything that you ask for, you pray for, you believe it, you have a positive mindset about it, it shall come to pass. And that
especially if you're working
and if you're working for, and if your family history, you want to continue to carry that on to the next great level, it can happen if you trust in and believe in God and doing your part and being obedient to His word and being obedient to exactly what He's actually telling you to do and how to move, and you will get to where you're trying to go. And that family history will continue to grow and be something rich that you can also continue to pass down to your kids. And
mm-hmm.
I believe that our kids also have to see the struggle so they can
mm-hmm.
understand what it means to get to that level. Because, see, we
mm-hmm.
can't hide, you know, I see some people, they hide stuff from their kids.
My
mom didn't hide stuff from us. It's some stuff
mm-hmm.
that we might didn't know, but it's some stuff that we are. Look, my kids ain't never had to say they came home and the lights was off.
Right.
I keep saying
they don't always know what you're doing to keep them on either.
That part too. And you know, it's something that one of my friends said to me. And when I told her, I said, "Girl, that thing brought chills to me." And she said, "Candace, my family say that I'm gonna be just like my mama. I'm gonna be this. I'm gonna be that." She say. But I didn't broke a generational curse in my family. Every day that you see me walking down the road taking my children to school, I might not have no car. And she was homeless at the time. She said, but every day you see me with my children, spending time with my children with me wherever I go, she said, I just broke the generational curse in my family.
I'm trying to tell you.
That thing brought chills to my body. I say, because you know what? You sure have.
And you know what? And the thing is, that's so important, because she acknowledges that she knows where her family struggled and fell short when she was growing up. So she knew that she was gonna be different, even if it only took one thing to be different with. I'm gonna be different, and that one thing will lead you to hundreds of things to be different with. I saw my mom. I'm going to say this really quick. I saw my mom wear a million hats when I was growing up, but I never saw my mom wear a hat that she took care of herself. Not in one aspect, not one time. And I always said, when I have children, if I have children, because I didn't want children, but I always said, if I have them, I didn't want them, let me be honest. But I always said, when I had them, if I had them, though, I would take care of myself. I would do some things differently when it comes to taking care of me, because I can't be fully functional as a mom and as a parent if I'm broken. And I know seeing my mom broken so many times broke me. That, you know, because what you show your children ended up being a reflection on them.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciated her not being, she didn't lie to us about the things that was going on. I appreciated all of that. I appreciated her realness. But what I appreciated more is that when she was hurting and when she was breaking down and when she was struggling with things, she didn't hide that from us. She didn't make us feel like life was all rainbows and roses. Even though we didn't always know what was going on, we know that life wasn't always rainbows and roses. So I appreciate her for that. And I'm the same way with my children.
Yeah, you got to be honest with them. You got to let them know what's going on. You know, we might not let them know everything, but my mom, she was very open with us. And I appreciate it. She was raw and rugged. You hear me? Like, raw. But I appreciated that because it has taught me a lot about who I am, where I'm trying to go. And still, even my mom said to me last year when I first opened J2 Couture on the Parkway, and work slowed down for me, my nursing work, and I was like, dang, Ma, like, Rashard, the kids might have to come over there because I can't feed the kids this week because I had just got this building and everything going on with my cousin, the situation with him and all of that stuff. And I was just like, why, like, I can't feed my kids. Like, this week I might not be able to feed them. But I know I'm trying to get to somewhere where I'm trying to go as far as my goals. So, and then two of my clients had just passed. So I knew I wasn't going to be down for long because when they pass, I end up always picking up clients like that, word of mouth and everything. Just so, but I was probably, I didn't work fully with, I had one client that I was still working with. And so I told my mom, and I don't know why it scared her. And she was like, look, if you can't open that place, you might need to see, could you get your money back, da 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 da. And I didn't talk to my mom for probably about 3 weeks. And my mom, one thing about my mom, she know if I don't talk to her for a minute, because we talk to
her at least a couple,
she know I'm upset, but she don't care. But she be like, she'll call me when she ready.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still praying for you, girl, but I know she'll call me when she ready. But after I opened up, when we had the grand opening, my mom, she came to me and she said, you know what? She said, you taught me something. You taught me about perseverance and going after my goals and my dreams, no matter what the situation may be, to continue to press forward. And I learned that from you. And that brought tears to my eyes.
Yeah.
Sometimes we teaching our parents, even though they're older than us and they just taught us, but as we become adults and mature into what our walk is and our purpose is here on earth, we also be teaching them also. And she was just like, I'm just proud. I'm proud that you didn't listen to me and you continued to push forward. Because, see, you would have been, she said, Candace, you would have been even miserable if you would have did exactly what I said. She said, but I'm happy that you didn't. I'm happy that you ignored me and you knew what you and God, the covenant that you got with him and what you made with him and what he told you, and you did exactly what you were supposed to do, and you didn't listen to man, and that is me. You didn't listen to me.
And that, yep.
You did exactly what you were supposed to do. And
you know,
said,
our parents are so fearful for us most times. They're so scary for
and
us.
And they parents.
Yeah, they don't want
they
to. And that's because, yeah, but it, and then in that same breath, because I know I am how I am with my children, too, because I'm very fearful of things happening. We can't, that's how we are as parents. What I found to be interesting is, though, like, because even in my same boat, if my kids are nervous about something and I can see they're nervous and I can feel nervous as well about the same situation, what I'll say to them is, whoo, child, that's a scary situation. But you know one thing about it? If you ready and God has pointed you in that direction, it's time for you to take that step. Because my mom did the same thing, Queen. My mom kind of put me in a fearful tactic with mine, which is why I ended up backing up from making the move. And it was like, and then after, like, 3 months after that situation happened, I was so upset with myself. I was like, how do you take advice from somebody who never did anything out of the norm?
Yeah.
You can't do that. It's like you're dooming yourself when you do that. It is. It's a step of damnation when you're setting yourself up to listen to the advice of someone who has never experienced any of the things that you're trying to experience or any of the things that you're trying to do. So we have to be cautious of the people who we take advice from. We have to be cautious of the people who we even heed advice from. You got to be very cautious of that. And it wasn't even that I was seeking my mom's advice. I was just telling her my plan. And with me explaining my plan, she was like, I don't know about that now. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, I appreciate it. Yeah, and it's appreciative when they're insightful for you and they're happy for you, but it's also appreciative for them to give you that show you that fear that you probably put to the side a little bit because you no longer were experiencing that type of fear. You were excited, you ready, but just to have that person be like, you know what, I believe in you regardless of the fear I may have for you, but I still believe in you. And it's kind of what you need to hear versus, oh, my God, that ain't going to work.
Yeah, yeah. And I hear a lot of people say that. Some of their parents tell them, why you doing that? That ain't, you. But when she said that, she was like, it brought tears to my eyes. It brought tears to my eyes. But, you know, we parents ourselves, but. I mean, I push Rashad and Zoe like no other. I can't really, and I tell my husband all the time, it saddens me that I can't get my hands on our other three children to push them and push the drive that I push in Rashad and Zoe to push it in them because they smart girls. They have potential, too, and it hurts me. It hurts both of us, him, too, that we can't get our hands on them and just drive them to success. And who says that they won't?
Right.
But I know that they are not exposed to the stuff
as
that
much as
Zoe and Rashad have been exposed to. Yes.
And then, you know, but even with their lack of exposure, I think, too, that because they know what you're doing and they know how you're doing it, even if they don't get to see it on a regular basis, they know what's going on. Susceptibly, they can't, you know, touch you on a regular basis and reach out and get that knowledge that you're giving your kids on a regular basis. But, you know, you can always offer them some advice on a normal basis as well by phone, text, sending them captions and stuff, sending them quotes throughout the day, giving them tips on business, giving them tips on stock, anything you can do. You can still be that benefit to them that they need, regardless or without being able to touch them daily. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there's still a way. There's still a way for you to reach out and do. You just ain't going to be able to give it to them as much and as strong as you give it to the ones who you get to see on a regular basis. But you can definitely still do it because I know you got the tools. I know you're not afraid to be honest with them. And then I also know you love them and you care about them. So those alone are things to make them be listening to you and understanding of what you're explaining to them. I definitely believe in that. That's that preservation I was talking about.
I'm telling you, we got legacy.
Yeah.
Legacy and legacy. I can't wait. I can't wait to. Everything that I have in store is going to be great, from these two books to the book that my husband going to write, because if people really, I can't wait for people to actually hear his story, because people going to be like, what? You was what?
Blown away.
Yeah. They're going to be blown away.
They
grew up, they didn't have much. Him and his brothers, they didn't have much at all. Like, they grew up very poor. But, hey, we live and we learn. And they're grateful.
That's right.
For even what they, how they was brought up. And their young.
And what they have.
And what they have, and what they have.
Yep.
So, and we here.
That's right.
It's a new day. It's so much opportunity out here. And that's what I tell my kids, and I tell anybody, man, look, especially these kids, y'all got so much opportunity.
So much.
Take it. Grab it. Snatch it up. Soak up all the knowledge. Like, y'all got knowledge at y'all fingertips.
Right.
You don't have to do too much searching. Some stuff you need to go search, because everything that you got at your fingertips ain't really true. So some stuff you got to go search, go into some books, some libraries, and search.
That's right.
These kids have so much, but I know my legacy, my family legacy, shall continue. I see it in my kids. I see it in my brother, daughter, because both of these girls, they want to go into the medical field. They talking about doctors, business owners, and we're going to push them to just what they trying to get to.
I know that's right. So, you wouldn't even, I don't even think you would be walking in your walk if you didn't.
Mm-mm.
So I think that's important.
We all here for
so, Queen, what you got?
We all got a purpose.
That's right. So what you got for us today? What you want to close out and let them know today in your closing?
Man, look, y'all be safe. Follow those dreams, goals, like I said last week. And like we actually been saying since the whole pandemic has started, man, prepare yourself for the next great thing. Prepare yourself to be the next great person that come out your family so the generation behind you can rise up to their greatest potential. We have to do this, y'all, because these children are paying so much attention to us. So all of us, like I just said, we're all here. We all have purpose. Time to rise up. Time to, and not even just rise up as far as goals. It's time to travel. When we able to start back traveling, it's time to, hey, sit around. And I ain't talking about traveling to the next state. I'm talking about global travel, learning different stuff, learning about different cultures and stuff. We can start in the United States because there's some places we need to go and learn about different states and stuff and just start opening your mind up to new things, new ideas. Look, even new people.
Yep.
Like, it's so many. Sometimes we be so stuck on the same friends that we done had since childhood. There's nothing wrong with meeting new people, making new friends, new connections. Because let me tell you, it's somebody out here for all of us, Shelby, that is waiting on us to tell our testimony. They waiting on us. God has people already appointed to us to push us to our greatness, to push us to our next level. It's some people out here actually waiting on us. They already know. We don't know who they are, but they probably know who we are, and they
who
wait
we
on
are.
Us
yep.
to where we got to go so we can push them to greatness as well. So think about that, listening audience. Think about that. It's somebody out here appointed to. That's actually assigned to all of us.
That's right.
That we're going to have to help. Be blessed. Stay prayed up. Continue to be safe out here. Continue to stay home if you don't have to be out or anything. And through this whole thing that we're going through with this virus, man, continue to stay positive because I truly believe in my soul that once this is over and we're able to start back traveling and going different places, life is not going to all, I don't think we're going to end up being the same like we was. It ain't going to get back to normal. Things are going to change every time something like this happens. In the world.
Yep.
Things definitely changes, but I feel a great change, especially for people who are doing what they're supposed to do, people who are loving God and just trying to live a great and positive life. That's why I tell people, man, I have not complained through this situation because I just see bigger things for myself and the people that's around me, that's close to me, that's friends, family. I see bigger things on the other side of this whole situation. Look, and be grateful. We ain't came in contact with this virus, and I don't believe we will. So just be grateful.
Well, I'm going to continue to, keep praying up about that because I know that news-wise, they're saying that more and more black people are dying for, but it's the pre-existing conditions that black people already suffer from in our communities, i.e. heart disease, diabetes, respiratory issues that are already inflamed into our bodies. So it's not, and that's anybody who has those pre-existing conditions.
Yeah.
They're just as capable of dying from the regular flu, pneumonia, just as well as they can from this pandemic. So this is why I think I put up a post early on Facebook. We have to turn off our televisions and live in the moment sometimes because you get so caught up in the news and what's going on around you till you stop mm-hmm. living your life. You end up, like, shutting yourself off. And we're already in a time where it's not much for us to do to even continue to live. We're already induced to our homes. So if you're going to continue to push fear into people, if you want that to continue to be your way of dealing with and coping with this pandemic, keep watching TV. But if you want to enjoy your life and just decide that as long as I'm doing the things I'm supposed to do, I'll be okay, and you stay in a safe environment, you'll be just fine. We're doing too much. We're still trying to move around too much. We're still trying to go mm-hmm. too many places, and that's causing our rate to be higher. It's so many people dying from this virus. You're not going to tell me that Black people are at the forefront. You're not. So if we're at the forefront, then you're starting to target us. And if we're targeted, then, you know, it is what it is, because we've always been the target. It seems like it's been a detrimental cause against us through this culture for many, 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 many hundreds of years. So,
and I don't think my positive and dying is something that you said before. Everybody's not dying from this disease. People are dying from other things. I don't think everybody's mm-hmm. dying from virus. They just saying people.
But they're going to chop it up to that, though.
Yeah,
they're going to chop it up.
I don't believe that we didn't have that many people die from this virus in this short of time. I just don't believe that.
No, I'm not going to believe that either, Queen. And to keep it all positive and keep everything frank and frim how we've been trying to do on our show, because we're a positive and motivational and encouraging show here.
Yes, ma'am.
What we're going to do is continue to tell you to stay safe. Stay home as much as possible. If that's the case, if you have to leave, and if you're still having to work, if you're an essential worker, God bless you. Keep yourself covered and keep yourself protected. We'll keep you in our thoughts and our prayers. And we want to definitely thank our wonderful queen, our co-host, for being our interviewee today, sharing her story. Again, J2 Couture, Beauty and Cosmetics. Queen, let them know where the location is.
I am
because she has moved.
I have moved. I am at 327 Office Plaza Drive, Suite 202. I'm right behind the old Democrat, because Democrat now is done in Panama City. But the Ford dealership, I'm right down the street. Our building is right next door to Community Action. We're on the right side of Community Action.
Yes.
So come check me out. Here you can always check my IG page. Follow me on IG at J2 Couture. Also follow my Queens Movement. I haven't been doing much on my Queens Movement page, but I just been busy with my client going through her transition and passing. I was so consumed with that and really there consoling her family, her daughters and stuff. So I'm gonna get back to that and start posting a little bit more. But yeah, check me out on Facebook at J2 Couture. Check me out on IG at J2 Couture and Queens Movement. I'm on Queens Movement 1 on IG, Queens Movement on YouTube, and also J2 Couture 1 on YouTube as well. So, and just check out the website if you want to purchase anything. You have any questions about hair, makeup, fashion, the life coaching services that I provide, you can hit me up at queen@j2couture or at www.j2couture.com or 850-300-0700. And all that information is on the website or either on the IG page. You can reach out. Look, I don't care about people DMing me, so you can DM me if you got questions. Look, that's what we got. Social
and her information is definitely on our Freedom Train.
Yeah.
Exactly. DM.
Yeah, so.
And you can definitely get her information on our Freedom Train website under freedomtrainnetwork.com and Shelby's World podcast. And
yes.
Also,
Shelby's World.
That's right. I also wanted to remind you all, this is our one-year anniversary. We will be doing our pop-up shop and our celebration when we can go back outside. So make sure you guys be looking out for our one-year anniversary special. It's going to be phenomenal. We want you guys to come and celebrate with us, because we are just extremely excited about what is going to be happening with Shelby's World and just the immense support that we get, and we want to just show our gratitude and our appreciation. So be stay tuned for that. And as we close out today's show, I just want to let you all know, again, stay motivated. Give yourself a positive affirmation every day during these times, because a lot of us stuck in the house with kids. A lot of us are not working. People have lost their jobs. Some people are still going to work. Some people are not in positions to be home. So for the ones who are going through to get through, we appreciate y'all. We like you. We love you. Tune in next Wednesday.
Yes. Oh, shout out to our
sponsors. We appreciate y'all.
Shout out to our
sponsors. Shout out to
Shelby's Bistro. Shelby's Bistro and J2 Couture.
Those are our sponsors. And also make sure you just check out our freedomtrainingnetwork.com podcast, period. Just go in there, check out our podcast, check out our board, check out everybody, y'all. And you're going to start to see a lot more of our sponsors post more on their pages. We already do it at enough, but you're going to see more of that. So y'all stay tuned. It's been a year, baby.
Yes. I can't wait to celebrate.
I can't wait. It's going to be major. But thank y'all so much for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Sure.
Queen, you good?
I'm good.
All right.